University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to New Year's Eve, 1985.
Detroit.
Two verses.
The University of Detroit Kazoo Orchestra brings
in collaboration
you,
with WQRS.
That's right.
Party favor accompaniment.
That's right. Presents Ask the Professor.
I think they call them noisemakers.
The radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors. In an unrehearsed session of questions
and answers. Just the way Franco Corelli does it.
Yeah.
Joan Sutherland.
Lighting up.
You need to turn down your amp just a bit, George.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's the mixer.
This is our...
can't be the liquor.
One can obviously tell this is our New Year's show. That's right. We're winding down on 1 year.
And keep those gifts coming in.
Yes. And today we have our regular panel, or most of it, with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to
Even
have
Even when
you.
I say humbug, I'm having a good time.
We know that. Right. We know that.
Particularly when you say humbug.
George is right, from the School of Education and from Wayne County Community College, Professor Wallace Peace.
Hi, Mom.
On Wallace's right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
It's nice to be here.
It's nice to have you here. George is unstoppable. And on Mary Jo's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Clemanski.
I I got it in.
There. We've gone
Thanks,
around
George.
The table.
Very good.
Musically.
Very good. Very good. Most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you get a bumper sticker and an autographed photograph. If you don't stump the panel, you get a bumper sticker and a photographed autograph. Okay.
So everybody's a winner here, really.
Really.
Even the losers.
On our last program, we were in the midst of some questions from Rita Rooney of Lee, Massachusetts, on presidents.
Okay.
And you had gotten one question, and we are just about to start the second question, which is... Who was the first black vice presidential candidate?
Frederick Douglass.
That's right. And interestingly,
see, you thought I wouldn't know that, didn't
he
you?
He was nominated that? With Victoria Woodhull in 1872.
Who's that?
That's how
that
I got
the answer
Victoria
to the first question last week.
Oh, way last week? You
yes, the first yeah, woman presidential candidate.
He didn't win, unfortunately.
No, he didn't.
No,
that's
he didn't.
True.
But he did do well after that. I mean,
yes,
he became an ambassador to Haiti, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Which president?
But he really would have been a great vice president.
Which president married at the youngest age? Which president married at the youngest age?
Do you mean
did he also have the most
his wife?
Did he also
his
have age. The most children?
No, I don't think so.
One
no.
doesn't that would necessarily be Tyler. Follow, does it?
Well, no, it's
not Tyler. No, no.
Who got married young in
1800s?
Everybody it's back the 1800s. Then got married young.
He was president in the 1800s?
Yes.
In the early 1800s?
No.
No.
In the mid-1800s?
The mid. After the Civil War.
After the Civil War. So, Grant.
No, he was already.
Nope.
Well, then, Hayes.
Cleveland.
No.
McKinley.
After Lincoln.
Oh, just Johnson?
Yes.
You mean?
Andrew Johnson.
That's right. Andy Johnson.
Yes, he was married at the age of 19 in 1827.
That's not too long.
I see.
No. What three presidents served in the same year?
Now, we've had this question before, and there are several answers.
Oh, I know.
Because we figured it
there
out.
There was William Henry Harrison.
Yes.
And John Tyler.
That's right.
And the one just before William Henry Harrison.
That's right.
Right. Taylor.
No.
Van Buren. Or
Van Buren.
Oh, Marty.
So it
yeah.
was
but it
Van Buren, William too. Henry Harrison, and John Tyler.
That's right.
Who was
after
also
Garfield
known
was
as Tipper Gnu.
No, I don't.
It did.
So.
I think it did happen in the 1880s again. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's right.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll check that.
All right.
Check
get
that.
Back to you next year.
All right. Very good. James Buchanan was the only bachelor president who was also a bachelor when elected, but married in the White House.
Cleveland.
That's right. Good old Grover.
He was bachelor, but not childless.
That's true.
No.
Hey,
ma,
ha, ha,
hey,
pa, where's your, what's that?
Ha, ha, ha.
Gone
where's
to the
my
White
pa?
House.
Gone to the White House. Ha, ha, ha.
That's right. Who was the first child born in the White House?
Oh, dear.
The first child born.
One of the Adams offspring?
No. No.
Did it take a long time to have a child born in the White House?
Well, you had to get elected
first. Well, 1806.
Oh, 1806. Must have been a Jefferson.
Yes, it was. It was James Madison Randolph, the grandson of Thomas Jefferson.
Hmm. Ah, so it wasn't his...
Oh, a grandson.
It wasn't his issue.
Oh, that was a misleading question.
It was a trick question.
We can't get them if you give trick questions. Oh, you should say
that.
This is a trick question and then ask it.
I really should. You're right. Okay. In the Civil War, which president's home was declared neutral territory by both sides?
George Washington.
That's right. That's right.
Whenever
there's
a doubt,
of them.
You should always say George Washington. You've got to be right.
Exactly.
Why not Jefferson, too?
Well, because George Washington was the first president. Jefferson was not. I thought everybody knew that. Jeez, he knows nothing. And he's on this show.
But he's so cute.
Is that why we keep him?
Yeah.
He's delightful.
Imagine thinking Jefferson was the first president.
I
Isn't
know.
That pitiful?
You know, I have students like this.
Yeah. Name a presidents who did not attend college.
Name a president.
Name nine.
Oh, nine.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
Washington.
Yes.
Adams.
Yeah, no.
No, Adams.
Adams was very well educated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew
Johnson. Harry Truman.
Andrew Johnson. Truman.
Harry Truman.
Yes.
Didn't go to college. How many is that?
One, two, three, four.
Any others in the 1900s?
No.
Okay.
No.
So so we're in the 1800s.
Yes.
William Henry Harrison?
No, I think he did.
No, he
Zach
ran.
Taylor?
Taylor.
Taylor and Tyler.
Tyler's not on the list.
Oh, Jackson.
Yes.
Jackson.
That's right.
I think Marty Van Buren went to college.
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
That's
Boy, he put on a good act.
He applied to college but didn't get in.
Oh, okay. We must be nearly there.
We've got two more to go.
Grant.
One, our most famous president, the one whose name always pops up.
Fillmore. Abraham Lincoln.
Well, he, did he or didn't he go to college? I mean,
did he or did he not install bathtubs in the White House?
Fact is, he became the president of the University of Buffalo.
That's true.
So, can you say he went to college or can
well, he
you
did,
say
because
he
had to go there in the morning to get to work.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You got it? So, sure. In fact, he went to college. Now,
What they meant was as a matriculated student. And in this case, I feel he was not.
I think you're right. No, he was there as an administrator, which God knows.
Which means he didn't need any education at all.
That's right. That's for sure. And there's one final president.
Eisenhower.
After a town in Ohio.
President Massillon?
No.
Cleveland.
Youngstown.
Cleveland. Oh, President Defiance?
President Akron.
Cincinnati.
Yes. Okay. What nicknames were given to the following presidents? The father of American independence. Who was
George
that?
Washington.
No.
Thomas Jefferson.
No.
Madden.
John Adams.
John Adams. That's right.
See, I only had 39 to go out.
The father of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
James Madison.
No.
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson.
T.J.
Father of the Constitution.
George Washington.
No.
Madison.
Madison, yes. Hero of New Orleans.
Andrew Jackson.
Yes, and Professor
Wilson.
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 And finally, which president buried his horse?
Where?
I don't know.
In Grant's tomb. buried his horse.
That's what the question says.
Well, Washington. Maybe several of them did.
Washington, right under the cherry tree.
Nope.
Is it early 1800s?
No, mid.
Mid 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, that's probably his entire claim to fame.
Pretty much.
Well, James Knox Polk.
Must be Pierce.
That's one of those types. It's Tyler.
I was going to say, it couldn't have been Harrison because his horse probably buried him.
Right.
off of such a short time.
Well, panel, you did very, very well with these, though. You did not get stumped at all.
No. We're pretty good on presidents, actually.
Yes, you are. Yes, you really are. So we
and
thank.
I'm not bragging. I'm just stating a fact.
Just a fact.
That's right. Yeah. We thank Rita Rooney. Sorry she didn't stump the panel, but those were fun. Those were good questions.
Yeah, those were good.
Get her photographed autograph and her bumper sticker, and send in some more. Send in some more.
Yeah.
Our next set of questions comes from Jim Styro.
Oh yeah.
You know him?
Flake.
Oh. Okay. Must be a student of yours.
He says, I listen to you every week, except sometimes. I think you are great and funny.
He doesn't listen to anybody.
Please don't let Ask,
ask
the
his
Professor
father.
Stop. Professor Pickering, stop sulking. This letter is about to stop.
Okay. Oh, it's a telegram.
Oh,
that's
stop.
What it is. It's exactly what it is. All right.
Dear Jim, I know what you're doing. Stop.
Since we are about to embark on a new year, he has some appropriate questions on the new year and calendars and stuff like that. Okay.
Very good.
Is New Year's Day a legal holiday, a national holiday, an international holiday, or a drinker's holiday?
It's a cosmic holiday.
Yes, all of them.
It's everything but an international holiday.
No.
It's a legal,
holiday.
It's a legal
holiday. It's a legal holiday.
Yes, yes. Okay.
True.
In the past, different cultures have had different methods of recognizing the beginning of a new year.
Yeah, some used to kill the king.
That's true. Please explain, as well as you are able, how each of the following cultures recognize the beginning of the year.
Kill the king.
What did the Egyptians do? How did they start the new year? When did the new year begin?
They made mummies.
No, I think they roasted a dog.
No, this is not in terms of what ceremony did they do. This is like what indicated to the Egyptians that the new year had begun.
Oh,
well, it was January the 1st.
The
everybody
flood
knows
receded.
That.
Yeah,
that's right.
The flood receded.
It's the flood. That's right. And the Greeks.
January the 1st.
The Greeks. What? How did the Greeks start New Year's?
They had the Olympics.
What was New Year's for the ancient Greeks?
Well, I'd spend a quiet evening at home. Nothing
what
fancy.
What time of the year was New Year's for the ancient Greeks?
The first midsummer. Of January.
No.
Everybody
Spring.
Knows that.
No.
Fall.
Nope.
Summer.
Yes.
That's all that's
I said
left.
Midsummer.
That's right.
Was it the midsummer or beginning of the summer?
Well.
It was a dream.
When is midsummer?
Oh, about, it depends on where you are.
21st of June.
Yes, exactly. It was June 21st. June 21st was the beginning of the Greek New Year.
Oh.
Yes.
How nice.
See?
When did the Babylonians, Persians, and Russians begin the New Year?
January 12th or something
no.
like that. 6th.
No.
When? Early. You mean in ancient times?
Yes.
March 20th. It was, you know.
That's close enough. Yeah. It's with the spring equinox,
yeah.
in other words. And how about the Romans?
They didn't believe in it. They skipped it. They were busy.
Well, the Romans.
They would, what would they do?
They had a festival. Anybody
the know
what
they had an orgy, I bet, and they
the
burned
lights.
Christians
yes,
at the stake.
Festival of the lights.
No, it was the festival of Anchilia.
Festival. Oh, Anchilia.
The Mayans
eat
Christians, and that would start the year off.
No, that's a little later.
When is it?
Sometime in March, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Good way to start.
Yeah.
Who designed the Julian calendar, which was the first to provide for leap years and set January 1st as the date for New Year's Day?
Julius.
No.
Pope.
No.
What do you mean, who did it?
Who did it? Who invented the Julian calendar?
Some monk.
Nope.
No.
Caesar.
Caesar's the one who was responsible for implementing it, but that's why it's called the Julian calendar.
Yeah.
He did not do it.
Oh,
somebody
Portia.
Else did it. Not Portia.
Really?
It was Sosigenes of Alexandria.
Well, we get credit
with offices in Cairo also.
It was one of those time consultants.
Yeah.
Yes.
From the
Sosigenes.
Ancient world.
Sosigenes
Inc.
Yes. Yeah.
Who is that?
It was
one of those Alexandrians.
It was a time consulting firm.
Yeah, he goes, hey, Julie, baby, I got a great calendar for you.
That's right. That's
the
right.
People,
love
are
you,
gonna
baby.
Love people are going to love it. People are going to love it. We got the T-shirts
who loves
ready
you, baby?
To go.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear
we can sell, no. We can sell a million of them.
We got the radio spots all cut. I mean, you're going to love it.
I don't believe this.
While we're debating this, let's take a little break, and I'll try to find some Coke.
You're listening to a special classic edition of Ask the Professor from New Year's of 1985. Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors will return next week with more brand new shows. Now, let's return to this classic show from New Year's of 1985.
A cola. We're back in the midst of some real frivolity.
Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm.
George, you're going
to know I'm right.
You're going to have to open up a little more, George.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I keep holding it.
I know you do.
Don't be so
shy.
I know.
This is really
I just
something.
Can't let go.
We're dealing with some questions from someone named Jim Styro, and it's all about calendars and
I can let
like
go
that.
Of him, all right.
Yeah.
No problem there.
What is the custom of first footing, and from where does it come?
First footing. It's footing. The first person you throw out of your house at the beginning of the new year.
Well, that's close, only it's a little reversed. You've got it backwards.
It's the first person that you let in,
yes.
And they bring you a present to be good luck. It's Scottish or something.
That's it, exactly. Yes, very
and,
good.
And it's just dumb as golf.
Yes. Yes, that's about it. Yes, that's a good way of describing it. Uh-huh. The month of January was named in honor of the Roman god Janus.
True.
Janus was the god of...
Two faces.
Joplin.
Was he the god of new life, revelry, doors, or aluminum siding?
It's not D.
No.
But he did have new life.
It's not new life.
So, humor.
Nope.
Doors.
Doors. Doors, of course. Yeah. Opening into...
A new life.
January. For doors.
Yeah. Why do you need a god for doors?
Well, the Romans had
doors. Doors are some of the most important things in the universe.
But why do you need a god for one?
It's gosh, not you that you don't know need a god for one. There is a god for them. Whether you need it or not.
I'd just like to know how come Janus became the name of a British magazine on corporal punishment, but then it's a different question altogether.
It depends what doors you're opening.
I guess, yes.
Or closing.
Yes. Christian churches celebrate January 1st as the Feast of Weeks, the Circumcision, the Castration, or Feasts.
The Circumcision.
That's right. That's right. All right. And he says, that's all, folks. All right.
Did we win?
Notice how we got quiet after that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was circumspect.
Right. Yes, really. Well, we thank Mr. Styro and send in some more.
Yeah, those were okay.
Wherever you are these days, you'll get something for all this. Okay. Our next set of questions comes from, I think, Thomas C. Bing. The handwriting is very difficult to decipher from Los Angeles, California. So if somebody in Los Angeles recognizes these questions and your first name is Thomas and your middle initial is C.
It's you.
It's yours. We're doing you now.
That's right. We don't have an address here, do we? Oh, we do have an address. Okay, good. All right. All right. That's good. He says, thank you for brightening many Sunday nights with your interesting and witty program. I hope your show from the campsite will become an annual event. Oh, our picnics are always,
they're a picnic.
Yes. Passing is 70% on the following questions. How many atoms are there in an apple pie expressed to the nearest factor of 10 and in numerical rather than exponential form?
Let's get the next guy's question.
Well. Yeah. Let's skip to
how many molecules
two.
In a mole? You got 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd, and how many would you have in an apple times how many apples in a pie? We're talking about quite a few.
We're talking about three apples to a pie.
Yeah.
Three apples?
Four? Depends how big you make. I don't know. What's your recipe for apple pie? How many atoms is your recipe call for?
I don't break it down quite that far. I just do molecules.
So what are we talking? There's a few billion.
They're going to want this
recipe.
It's
several billion.
Yeah.
A few billion.
Yeah, there's something. It's several.
Is it Adam's apples?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's
Adam's.
I don't put any Adam's apples in my pie.
No, he didn't mean that, John.
Oh.
It's apples Adam's.
Oh.
Sorry, John's got this dyslexia.
Yes, he really does.
I have two questions.
Yes.
The first one is...
But no answers.
How many does he mention? And the second one is...
Why?
Are the rest of his questions like that?
No.
Oh,
how many what, to the first or the second?
The answer he has is 400 septillion.
I don't think that's right. That sounds too high to me.
Well, But there's a margin of error there, I think, that, you know, give it like a septillion.
What size? He didn't say what size pie it was. I mean, what standard size or large?
Is it a 9-incher or a 7-incher?
Yeah, several different kinds.
It could be deep dish.
He's got a better question.
One small one.
I mean, when you get into apple pies, man, you don't fool around. There's all kinds of technical details. You got to sweat the details.
We should have been in the question.
Apple pie here.
Yes, yes.
I think it's not unreasonable to ask for competent questions.
That's right. I have to throw this question out.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
No, this question's thrown out.
It's only fair.
Probably wrong anyway.
Discard this question. That's right. Next question. Why are manhole covers round?
Because they are not square.
So they won't fall.
That's as good as the answer I have in front of me.
Which is?
It's the only shape that can't fall through the hole on the edge.
Right.
Well, no, it's because it's the same shape as the hole that it's in.
You also can get a bigger area with a round surface.
No,
you know,
that's
so
true. That's true.
So that could
you
happen.
You can get a bigger man down.
Down
there.
The hole. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then you can a rectangle.
Okay. What makes curly hair curly?
All jeans. Right, Klemanski.
Yeah, jeans.
Permanence.
Yeah.
No, there's a certain physical property to it.
When you do the wave. At Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
Yes.
A beautician can do it.
Yes. Yes.
A physical property.
Yes.
Well, the heat is applied to one side of the strand of hair, and it makes it bend.
Well, what makes it curl? I don't know.
The answer I have is that curly hair is flat as opposed to straight hair, which is round.
Oh.
So it's the difference between spaghetti and linguine.
Right.
You know, some people have linguine on their heads and others
have spaghetti.
But linguine
doesn't curl.
If you do it right.
Yes.
Around your fork it does.
Let's have curled linguine for dinner.
Yeah.
According to Krishnamurti, what is the most positive action?
Krishna Monthly, that is. It's
the
a magazine.
The most positive action?
Yes, the most positive action.
Reaching Eating. Nirvana.
Thinking well of one's neighbor.
Mm-mm. Contemplating one's navel.
Answering this question.
Contemplating somebody else's navel.
It is to negate a falsehood. To negate a falsehood.
I'll go along with that.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah, what did Curly of the Three Stooges share in common with the British nation?
Flat hair.
No.
Flat head.
No.
Flat out.
No. It's a great sense
Flat
of affection
feet.
For a certain thing.
They both love the aristocracy.
A living thing.
The Malvinas? He liked the Malvinas?
No.
They liked animals.
Certain
types
kind
of
animals.
Sheep.
Horses.
No.
No.
Dogs.
Dogs.
Royalty.
Yes. Yes.
But you repeat yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
What is the real name of the comedian Joan Rivers credits as her major influence?
Well, first of all, let's figure
Fang,
out.
Fang, you mean?
No.
Who the.
That's not Joan Rivers.
Oh,
who is her.
Oh, that's Diller.
Yeah.
Who is her favorite, or who's her greatest influence?
Yes, that's the question first.
Bob Hope.
No.
Is it a man?
He's a comedian.
And he was known for his incredibly
right.
bitter view
yeah,
of.
Yeah, Lenny
life.
Bruce.
That's right. Now, what was his real name?
Leonard Bruce.
It's Leonard.
Leonard.
It's actually
Leonard Bruce something.
Actually Leonard Bernstein. And this has been
but
one of the best kept secrets of American culture.
Now it can be revealed.
Yes. Only here.
Wait,
for the
we
first
don't know
time.
Bruce.
Ladies and gentlemen Schneider. Of America and all the ships at sea. Tonight we are making a major announcement on this radio program. What was his name?
Schneider.
Yeah, see?
Leonard Bernstein Schneider.
Leonard Bernstein Schneider.
Right.
When watching 25-year-old British films, describe a useful way of understanding the amount of money involved when characters speak of pounds, the ravages of inflation and the vicissitudes of international exchange being what they have
Multiply
been.
By five.
Ounces. Just think of ounces when they say pounds.
25 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
multiply
it's
by five.
Five.
Make
five
it a dollar.
To a
just make it a dollar.
You see, that's close. I mean, that's exactly what it should be. He has here, think of them as $20 bills.
No.
Not 25 years ago.
Not 25
I was there 30 years ago, jerk.
That's Mr. Jerk.
Yes.
Let's be more polite.
Oh, excuse me. I don't mean to get informal.
Mm-hmm.
No, not $20.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to go back maybe
five
to the
bob?
Turn of the century for that.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What was the worst disaster to befall the New York City numbers betting industry in the 1960s?
The lottery. OTB. Some kind of official state-run lottery.
No.
It's not.
Well, no, that's not the answer. No.
Oh.
Master charge.
No, I'll have to give it to you. It was the day the Dow Jones Stock Average, which is used in the determination of the winning number, closed coincident with the zip code of Harlem, New York.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's
And what happened? Everybody hit the numbers.
Everybody hit that number.
Everybody hit the numbers.
Yes. Oh, yes. Where was I? Must have been in Iowa then.
That's right. That's right.
My luck.
We're never around at the right time. What is the name of the number expressed as a 1 with 10 to the 100th power zeros following?
Google. Very large.
That's right. A Google. That's right.
I better get one of these.
Barney Google.
Barney Google. Right. And then there's a Googleplex, too.
What's that?
That's right.
That's, that's 1 to the 10 to the 10 to the 100.
That's right. That's right.
1 to the 10 to
it's
the 100.
It's not 1. It's 10 to the 10 to the 100.
That's 10
a Googleplex.
To the 10
to the 100.
That's it. Oh. Well, we thank Mr. Whatever his name is, he did not stump the panel.
Mr. Bing.
But, yes, well, if that's his name, something like that. But we thank him, and he'll be receiving his little gift package. And send in some more questions.
Yeah, that was good.
Those are good.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he should wait a little while before he sends somebody.
Sheesh. Practice at home.
Okay. Our next set of questions come from Steve Miller of Van Dyke Charlie's Restaurant.
Good old Steve.
Up there in...
Hi, Steve.
Wherever
it's in Warren or somewhere.
Someplace like
Hi,
that.
Hi, Steve.
Warren, Sterling Heights.
Sterling Heights, that's right. That's
Sterling
right. Sterling Heights, Michigan.
It's on Van Dyke and something,
Yeah.
Who says? This starts right in, and he wants you to answer these questions. Okay.
All right.
What was the last name of Beaver Cleaver's buddy Larry? Mondello. I won't even let you agonize on that one. Who wrote White Christmas?
Berlin.
Berlin.
That's right. What U.S. city hosts the world's tallest building?
Chicago.
That's right.
Sears.
See, you all thought I was going to say New York, didn't you?
No.
That was what he thought. But we didn't say New York. We said Chicago.
Where is the nation's silver supply stored?
In the mines.
No.
Or in those Texas brothers' house.
Nope.
The Hunt brothers.
Nope. Nope.
In some mountain somewhere.
No.
What,
New York
there
City.
Isn't any.
Yes, there is. It's in New York State.
New York State.
Attica.
I was in New York State. I never
it's
saw it.
It's in Attica.
No, it's not in Attica.
Oh.
It's where you've got a lot of soldiers around to protect it.
Fort.
It's not a fort yet, quite. It's a place where you prepare people to take over the military.
Oh, West.
Yes.
Point.
West Point?
Point.
Yes.
They keep silver there?
Apparently. What was Babe Ruth's real first name?
George.
That's right.
Herman.
That's right.
George Herman.
George Herman Ruth.
Yes. Who played Tonto opposite Clayton Moore?
Jay Silverhill.
That's right. Who wrote The Glass Menagerie?
Tennessee Williams.
Right. Who holds the Major League Baseball record? Oh, we're out of time.
I do.
Okay.
Willie Hernandez.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I'd like to thank the panel today, Professor Pickering, Professor Peace, Professor Nichols, Professor Klemanski, and I'd like to say, on behalf of all the rest of our people and crew here, Paul Murray, our producer, Jim Wyatt, his associate today, Roger Hino, who sometime occasionally helps him out, Jim Muir, our technical director, Vivian Dix, our producer, all those wonderful people that hang
we've made this such a swell year for all of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And I'm Michael Jason. Thank you for joining us today for this classic New Year's edition of Ask the Professor from 1985. We're back with more brand new shows next week.